Welcome back to Tanakh B'Shana. This week we're going to be focusing on Sefer Bamidbar. Just a reminder, next week we will not be having class. There will be no class next Wednesday. So we will not be finishing all of Torah next week. We'll finish the week after with Sefer Devarim. I have a question for everyone. I know I've been a camp counselor. I've done programming of all sorts. What is the worst part of programming, always?
Getting everything into it.
Getting everything in, yeah, all the details.
The weather.
The weather, the things you can't plan for.
Making sure you have the right amount of time for each thing, neither too much or too little.
Scheduling, yes, all terrible parts of programming. My least favorite part of programming is arranging people's seats or rooms they have to stay in. If that is ever a part of anything you are planning, you want to stay away with a 10-foot pole because no one is ever happy. They're not happy with the people they are sitting with. They're not happy with the people they're not sitting with. They're not happy. I used to plan Shabbatons. Nobody's ever happy with who's in their room, who's not in their room, what room they have, the temperature of the room, anything about it. So in looking at Sefer Bamidbar, why would Hashem choose to involve himself in how B'nai Israel camped? I personally think that if Sefer Bamidbar went by and Hashem did not say, Yehuda should camp next to Yisachar, I wouldn't notice. I would just say there are a lot more important things that Hashem has to tell us about how to behave in the Midbar than where exactly everyone should sleep. That's something that Hashem just should not have to deal with. And as we know, they were definitely a group of complainers. So we knew that they definitely had the problem of we don't like the person we're sitting next to and they make too much noise. Right. Maybe Hashem did it perfectly. But I would imagine that someone would have complained. So why would Hashem want to go into how B'nai Israel should camp? So that's what we're going to focus on today. But in order to focus on the significance of the camp of B'nai Israel, I think we need to start a parsha earlier with the counting of B'nai Israel. It says in the first source, in the beginning of Bamidbar Parak Aleph, Ve'edaber Hashem el Moshe b'midbar Sinai b'ohal moed b'achad l'chodesh hasheni b'shna hasheni l'tzitam eretz Mitzrayim le'mor. So it's their second year after leaving Mitzrayim. Hashem said, he speaks to them from Midbar Sinai, from Ohal Moed, on the first day of the second, of b'achad l'chodesh hasheni, in the first day of the second month. And he says, Su'u et rosh kol adat b'nei Yisrael l'mishbechotam l'beit avotam b'mispar shemo. You should count every male of Kol Zachar leGilgulotam. You should count each male in each shevet according to their family. Miben Esrim Shana v'Mala, from 20 years and up. Kol Yotzei Tzava, everyone who goes out to war. Tifkuduotam leTzivotam. You should count them according to their shevet. Atav Aharon, you and Aharon. And the Nesiim of each Shevet are going to help you count. So they're taking a census. This is going to be the point that they're finally going to leave Har Sinai. They've been at Har Sinai until now. They are going to start traveling, and Hashem wants Moshe to take a census. So the Mefarshim question, what is the significance of the counting? Why is Hashem asking Moshe to count? We've had a census before. We are going to have more sensei, multiple censuses, multiple countings. What is the significance of this counting? And Rashi famously says, "B'midbar Sinai b'achad l'chodesh mitoch chibatan lefanav mona otam kol sha'a." Because of how much Hashem loves us, He counts us all the time. Kishayatsumi Mitzrayim Manan, He counted them when they left Mitzrayim. Vikishana flew ba'egal Manan, and after Chita Egal, He counted them. Leidam Minayin Hanotrim, to know how many people were remaining. Vikishabal Hashrot Shlina Tawalayhem Manan, and when He comes to rest His Shlina on them, He also counts them. Be'achad Benisan Hukam HaMishkan, on the first of Nisan, the Mishkan was erected. Ube'achad Be'iyar Manan, and then on the first of Iyar, He counted them. So Rashi says, why do we have all of these countings? Because of how much Hashem loves us. And something I want you to keep in the back of your head is why does Rashi specifically say, he says events in history, and then it says when Hashem was ready to rest his Shekhinah on them, he counted them again. So I want you to just store that away in the back of your head. Why was it important for Hashem to know how many people there were in Bnei Yisrael at the time of Hashra'at HaShekhinah, at the time of resting of the Shekhinah? Another approach that's given, in Tehillim it says, Moneh mispar lakol chavim lechulam shemot yikra. That it says in Tehillim that Hashem knows each star by heart, by name, that Hashem can count out each star. And many times this is equated with Bnei Yisrael, that many times, just like Hashem knows the names of each star, Hashem also, through counting, knew the names of each member of Bnei Yisrael. And I thought the Shem Mishmuel gave us a very interesting idea based off of this that's going to take us to why the camping was important. The Shem Mishmuel, the second Sagachavar Rebbe, gives a very interesting idea. He says, V'nir elef harish dehinei b'midrash an Yeshayahu, it says, Hamotzim espar tziv'am l'chulam b'shem yakrayu. In Sefer Yeshayahu, it says that Hashem calls us all by one name. The Chatuv Echad Omer Tehillim, in the Pasuk in Tehillim we just read, L'chulam shemo yikra, that Hashem calls us each by name. Kitzad yekaymu shnei ketuvin halalu, how can both of these be true? That it says in Yeshayahu that Hashem calls us by one collective name. And then in Tehillim it says that Hashem calls us each individually. Elash, kishah HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevakesh lekrotam ke'echad, hu kore l'chulam b'shem echad. When Hashem wants to see us as a collective, he calls us all by one name. V'kishahu kore l'kol achad b'shmo, but when he wants to single out each individual, hu kore oto Michael, Gabriel, l'kach ne'amar, l'kulam shemot yikra. He calls each star by its own individual name. V'perish aviyad mor zetzala hakavanash, kishim nertim mitzad haklal, umitzad haprad. He says, each person is valuable to Hashem on an individual level and on a collective level. He said, in this pasuk, it's specifically talking about the kochavim are analogous to the malachim. That's why it uses the names of malachim. Gabriel and Michael, names we recognize of angels. Sorry, I lost my place. V'heim nirtzim mitzad haklal, haynu shemikach kulam nishlam seder habriya. He says, when are angels valuable to Hashem? They're valuable to Hashem on two levels. When all of the angels are working together, they fulfill the seder habriya. They fulfill the creation. V'gam kol achad b'fnei atzmo b'prato. But also we know that each angel has an individual job. Afilu kasheyitzoro to levado bilti mishatefim haklal kulo. And that job is important even when he's not serving as part of the whole. Lefiza yiparish nami had Yisrael nim shalula kol chavim. That's why Bnei Yisrael are being compared to these stars. Nami b'inyan zeh shehim nirtzim mitzad klal Yisrael, that we are valuable as a member of klal Yisrael, as one of the collective. Umitzad haprat kol ish v'ish miYisrael b'fnei atzmo. But also, every member of Bnei Yisrael is significant in and of itself. That I don't think we have to read the rest inside, but what he continues to say is that each person is valuable because we were created to serve God. So each person on an individual level has his role in serving God. So too, when we each fulfill our role of serving God, we are able to come together as a collective and have a collective mission of serving God. So therefore we see that when Hashem looks at us, Hashem, in the metaphysical sense, he sees us as individuals, that he sees us as each person with their individual role, but also as a collective. And I think this is the way that we're meant to view the census, that God was saying, I'm going to count each of you. And it says specifically that Moshe didn't just walk to each house and say, how many men above 20 are in here? And they would tell him a number and he would write it down. It said each had to give the machatzit hashekel. They each had to be counted as an individual. Each one was singled out. But yet, they're still part of their household. They're still part of their shevet. So they're being seen as individuals, but they're also being seen as part of the collective. But this idea of seeing Bnei Yisrael as individuals is unique for us until this point. At Har Sinai, we know famously that it says they camped in singular, and Rashi explains there, ke'ish echad b'leib echad. Until this point, we are seen as Am Yisrael. We are very, besides for our avod and imahut, we're not really seen as individuals. We hear specific names of people. And that culminates at Har Sinai with the ultimate unity. But moving on from then, which we're finally doing, we're finally going to leave Har Sinai. We now have to act as individuals. We're going into a new stage, and we're each going to have a unique role. So through counting us, Hashem is saying, you are now each going to move away from this stage of just being part of the collective, that you still have a collective goal, collective values. You're united around serving Hashem. However, you each also have your own individual role. And once we have that in mind, we can move on to the significance of the camp. In Pirkei Avot it says, "Hu haya Omer al tihi baz l'kol adam, don't make fun of any person, va'al tihi mafleg l'kol davar, don't ridicule anything. She'ein l'cha adam she'ein lo sha'al, because there is no person that doesn't have his time. Ve'ein l'cha davar she'ein lo makom, and there is nothing that doesn't have its place." So now, after this counting in the beginning of Bamidbar, we have a lot of individuals. Now what? These individuals need a place, and based on what it says in Pirkei Avot, every person has its place. So the goal of moving from the counting to the camping is going to put each person in their place and in their role. And through the specific way that Hashem is going to arrange them, it's going to educate them on what their goal is going to be and kind of give them that charge of what they are supposed to do going forward. So let's move on finally now to the camping. In the beginning of Bamidbar Parak Bet, it says, "Ve'edaber Hashem al Moshe v'al Aaron le'mor, Ish al diglo be'otot lebeit avotam yichanu, b'nei Yisrael mineged saviv la'ohal moed yichanu." How should this camp be set up? Hashem says, each person should camp according to their shevet, according to their father's house, all surrounding ohal moed. So if you're going to look on the top of the next page is a picture of the camp. The Mishkan was in the center of the camp with the Levium, the different families of Levium camping directly around the Mishkan. And then on the outside, there was the four directions, four camps of the Shvatim. So if you look in the east, was Yehuda, Yisachar, and Zvulun. That's Machane Yehuda. Not the Shuk, not nearly as exciting, I'm sure. Then in the south was Reuven, Shimon, and Gad. The west, Binyamin, Menasha, and Ephraim. And north, Naphtali, Asher, and Dan. Okay? So that's how they were camped. They were divided into four camps surrounding the camp of the Levium, and in the center of that was all around the Mishkan. I know the print came out kind of small. I apologize. Then in the end of the parak, it continues, Ela pekudei b'nei Yisrael lebeit avotam, kol pekudei amachanot lesivotam, shesh meot alef, u'shloshet alefim, v'chamesh meot v'chamishim. It gives the final count of all of B'nai Yisrael, and it says, V'hal Leviyim lo tifkidu b'toch B'nai Yisrael. The Leviyim were not included in this same count. The Leviyim were counted separately. Kasher tziva Hashem et Moshe. V'yasu B'nai Yisrael kechol asher tziva Hashem et Moshe. Kein chanu l'diglehem v'kein nasa'u. This is how they would camp, and this is how they would travel. Ish l'mishpechotav al beit avotav. Each person would camp as himself to his family with his shevet. So that's how it was set up. And this is very, they all settled into that place, and then when they traveled, it would all kind of align itself, and they would travel in the same way, in the same groups. So the Ramban explains, why was it important the way that they camped? So we said why Hashem would get involved in the counting, in why B'nai Yisrael should camp, and that's because Hashem had to give each person this role of theirs. But what was significant to the actual way that they camped? So the Ramban gives an interesting approach. He said, "Ve'odra iti ba midrash. I saw in the midrash, v'kishim shebara kadosh baruch hu arba rucho ba'olam. Just like Hashem created four directions in the world, kach sava siveiv l'kiso arba chayot lemala mikulan kisei hakavod. So Hashem paralleled the four corners of the earth to the four directions surrounding the kisei hakavod." That around the Kisei HaKavod, Hashem's divine throne in heaven, there is four Chayot HaKodesh. This is part of the Ramban's Kabbalistic side. that I can't necessarily explain to you what a Chayot HaKodesh are. But there are four Chayot HaKodesh. There are these four directions that each have their unique rules. V'kenegdan tzider HaKadosh Baruch Hu hadgalim l'Moshe. And also parallel to these four corners of the earth and these Arba Chayot HaKodesh, he also created the four dgalim according to which B'nai Israel camped. Amarlo, so he said to Moshe, Mizrach, who should we put in the east? Shemimenu yotze or la'olam, that's where the light goes out to the world, that we know that the sun rises in the east. La'olam yehe kenegdo Yehuda. Yehuda should be there. Shehu ba'al melucha, because he is the shevet of kingship. Ba'alav shevet, so just like in the east, the sun comes into the world, the light comes into the world, so too through the kingship, light should come into the world. Ba'alav shevet Yisachar, and he should camp with shevet Yisachar. Shehu ba'al Torah, that the people of Yisachar were known for being, they were the learners. Ba'alav matez Zvulan, and next to them would be Zvulan. Shehu ba'al Ashiro. My son's name is Zvulan, so this, I always get excited when his name comes up. And Zvulan camped next to them because they were the wealthy ones. That we know they were not just simply the wealthy ones. They were the wealthy ones that supported the Torah learning. So all of these connect to light going out to the world. That sharing the light of Torah or the light of kingship with the world. Kama dechtiv Zvulan l'chof yamim yishkon kimo shene'emar ki shefa yamim yanku yisal barishona. So it goes through all the psukim proving that these are the roles of each of the shvatim. Okay, then we can skip down a little bit. Darom talei bracha, so who should we put in the south? We skipped a few words. It's right after the pasuk from Micha. Darom talei bracha, v'gishmei bracha yotzim mimenu. So in the south, the dew and the rain of bracha comes out from there. L'olam yehi kenegdo. Reuven. So Reuven should always camp there. Shehu ba'al tshuva, because he is the one, he is our symbol of tshuva. V'hatshuva midah tova. And tshuva is a good midah. So bracha and tshuva should go together. V'rachamav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the mercy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ba'in la'olam b'shah she'osin tshuva. So just like we, through good things, we bring gishmi bracha to the world, we bring rain to the world, also through tshuva, we bring the rachamim of Hashem to the world. Ba'alav God, and God should camp with him, shehu ba'al gvura, that he is the master of strength. Reuven b'tshuva, the God b'gvura, v'shimon b'emtza, and Shimon should be in the middle, l'chaper alav. So we should make up for Shimon, so he's going to be between the two of them, that are tshuva and gvura. Okay, so we're not going to continue through the rest, but what we see is that the Ramban attributes an importance to the exact location that each person camped. So in what way is Hashem assigning each person their role? He's matching their unique role with their unique location in relation to the camp. So like we see, and everything has a very deep level. So bracha is connected to the south, so the shevet that is connected to bringing bracha is going to camp in the south. And bringing light to the world, that's going to go in the east. So he goes through how each one of these corresponds to their unique location. So Ramban says specifically, just by nature of putting them in that exact place, it gives them their role as a shevet, and therefore each person within that shevet. Like if you knew you lived in the place that was responsible for bringing bracha to the world, you now have a sense of how you are supposed to behave going forward from this point. That you have been put in a specific role in a specific location to bring bracha to the world. So Ramban was saying it's not just that each person was being told they were important. They were given their unique way to relate to the world from now on. So that's how we can talk about how each of them were placed. But what is the significance of them surrounding the Mishkan, which is how we're going to focus the rest of this year? It says specifically that they camped constantly. It says, Mineged la'ohal moed, surrounding ohal moed. That it goes Mishkan in the center, then the Levium who served in the Mishkan. It's all very clearly Mishkan-centric. We can also see this from the order of the Parsha. If you look at Parshat Naso is known as, it's the longest Parsha, I believe, in the Torah, and it has a ton of topics that, I forget, someone came over to me last week and said, you came over to me at the end of last week and said, I wonder what topic we're going to do, because in Bereishit it's relatively easy to choose an overarching theme. In Shemot, it wasn't too difficult. Bamidbar is known as the Sefer with no theme, because everything's kind of jam-packed into Bamidbar. But there are running themes, and one of them, if you look at Parshat Naso, it starts with the jobs of the Levim. Then it goes to removing Tamei people from the camp. Then a warning against theft. Then it talks about the Isha Sota, the Nazir, Berachat Kohanim, and finally the gifts of the Nesiim. So we see how even within one Parsha, this is a little bit all over the place, and also how each section within that could have its own shear. So I would like to say that the progression through Parshat Naso shows us the not just that the Mishkan was important, so it happened to be in the center, but that it was really integral to the center of the camp. The Parshat Naso starts off with the jobs of the Levim. It's teaching us who is going to serve in the Mishkan. Then, if we're creating this holy camp that surrounds the Mishkan, we have to remove Tumah. We have to make space for the Shechina to rest in the camp. So we have to remove the Tumah through removing the Tamei people, and then we can allow in the Shechina. Next, what does the warning against stealing have to do with creating a place for the Shechina, creating a Mishkan-centric camp? The essence of having a camp with each person with their own unique role and ability that's going to surround the Shechina, that's going to surround the Mishkan, is that each person has to respect that the other person has their unique role. And stealing by nature takes away each person's individuality, because saying that I think I have a right to something that you own is denying that person's right to what they have. So we have to remove people that are going to deny people's individuality and people's individual rights. Next, the Sota and the Nazir talk about extremes. How do you deal with extremes within the camp? That if we're trying to set up a place for the Shechina, we can't have people that are like the Isha Sota, a woman who is suspected of disloyalty to her husband. We can't have that ultimate level of Tumah within the camp. We have to get rid of that. But also the Nazir, there's this question of, is the Nazir operating in the way of ultimate Kedusha, that by separating himself from the world, is that elevating himself? Or is it possibly teaching us how we're not supposed to behave if we think we're trying to achieve Kedusha? That might not be the right approach. So it's how do we deal with extremes? So now we have a camp, we've taken out the Tumah, we have removed people that deny others individuality, we have dealt with how we think about extremes within the camp, and then we're able to make space for the Shechina, that through Berachat Kohanim, through Hashem blessing us, through the Nesiim bringing their gifts, their unique, each one brought the same gift, but it lists each of them to tell them how each Shevet related to Hashem and to the Shechina, and then we can have Hasharat HaShechina. So through this process, Parshat Naso brings us to the fact that the Mishkan is not just physically central to the camp, but inviting in the Shechina and making the camp a welcome place for the Shechina is integral to the way B'nai Yisrael camped. So we see that they are now a camp with each of their individual roles laid out for them, and all in relation to how they think about making space for the Shechina in the center. That they're going to be constantly united around this idea of the Shechina in the middle. I want to take a look now at the Maharal. The Maharal Miprag, he is known for giving explanations to numbers, that he likes to give significance to any number. So if there's any time you want to know, like, what's the significance of number 7, you look at the Maharal. So the number we're going to look at is the number 4. We're going to look at the number 4 because why were B'nai Yisrael specifically divided up into 4 camps? And this is in the context of the Maharal. It's in his Sefer Ner Mitzvah. And he is talking about why are there 4 Galiot? Why are there 4 exiles? He explains the significance of the number 4 in general. So he says, L'kach ha-malchiyot ra'oi she'yihu dalet. So why are there 4 kingdoms? Ki ha-malchiyot him ha-yitzia mechvodo yibarach. The Malchiyot, he's talking about the kings, are the essence of leaving from Hashem. V'hu yibarach achad. Hashem is one. V'ha'emtza'i hu mityachis al achad kasher ha'emtza'i bifrat hu achad. Everything in relation to oneness, very deep, everything in relation to oneness has to go, you have to be united around oneness in order to disperse. V'lekach bita megdash Yerushalayim shehim achad bilbad. The V'chein Yisrael shehim am echad. B'nei Yisrael are one nation. Mesugal lahem ha'aretz shehu echad. United around one land. Bilvad lefi shehu be'emtza ha'olam. Kal ha'davar. Davar hu echad mesugal lo ha'emtza'i. There was always one central thing. V'hayotze min ha'echad hu mi'yachis ledalid. K'neged dalid ruchot sheyish behem yitziyah min ha'emtza. So what is four? Four is the number of dispersion from the center. That when everything is united around one, how would you explain leaving from this oneness? You would explain it through the number four. Why is that? Can I get dalad ruchot sheyish bahem hayetziyah min ha'emsa? Because there are four directions of dispersion. V'lekach ha'malchiyot heim dalad. That's why there are four malchiyot, why there are four kingdoms. Can I get dalad ruchot hayotzi min ha'emsa'i? So these four exiles were meant to explain that this is the ultimate level of B'nai Yisrael leaving from the center. That it was four is the ultimate dispersion, leaving from the center. And that's why the four exiles had to take them away from their center, which was their land. V'lekach darash min lashon tahu vavahu dal malchiyot mipnei ki lashonot ilu. So this comes from a lacking, this part I do not totally understand, but he is saying, on a very deep level, four signifies leaving from the central unity. So the Maharal is saying, is there are four camps. Four signifies dispersion. Four always signifies dividing from the center, leaving from the center. So I thought, this is the perfect way of explaining the camp of B'nai Yisrael. There's, in order for there to be dispersion, there has to be somewhere for you to disperse from. B'nai Yisrael are constantly united around the Mishkan, which is going to be their central unifying point. But Hashem divided them into four to say to them, you are supposed to leave from this point. You are supposed to be separate, unique, each with their each individual role. But you have to remember that in order for you to be dispersed, there needs to be somewhere for you to disperse from that you always need to be connected to. So Maharal is saying it kind of works on two sides. You need to separate, but you also need to remember what is the united point that you left from. So for B'nai Yisrael, this is very relevant, that they are not always going to be one united being. But they always need to remember what unites them. That being B'nai Yisrael means that you're united around the Mishkan, but it also means that you're serving in your unique role, your unique purpose.
Yeah. Do you understand that he's saying four from one is the center versus four directions, geographical or south?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's where he takes four.
Yeah, he takes the Arba Ruchot. He also compares the actual letter Dalid to an arrow pointing outwards. He has a lot of like, it's a much longer piece. But in essence, what he's saying is, based on the four directions in the world, that's how he's... Right. So he was saying based on geographical that there are four directions of the world, that's how we understand that four is the language of dispersion. Yes. Further on we see, when we say Shema every day, we say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And there is a halacha that you are supposed to stress the letter Dalet at the end. So if you ever hear people stress like Echad, and it goes on for a while, I'm not so good at it. This connects to this idea that Dalid, the Maharal connects it to this idea. They were saying, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hashem is one. But inherent in oneness, inherent in our being one, Hashem being one, is that we all disperse from this point, that we all unite around serving Hashem, we unite around Hashem's oneness, and we disperse from there. So we emphasize that Hashem is one, but we each relate to Hashem as one, but we all also serve in Hashem in our own unique ways. So that's that we have to remember that in the camp of B'nai Yisrael, much like when we're pronouncing Shema, it's not that we're all supposed to relate to Hashem in the same way. We have to relate that Hashem is our core, Hashem is one, and Hashem is our center. But we each relate to Hashem in a different way. We just have to remember that the focus is always uniting around Avodas Hashem. Yes.
This is going to Shema, but it's also the 70 nations are going to be together, or the 70 people in this Sanhedrin, to be all focused on Hashem's Zechah.
So that could be also. Right. I really like that idea.
And also, what happened to the Arab realm when they left
in all this land business? Where are they?
From my understanding, we really stopped hearing about them at a certain point. My thoughts would be that they were either absorbed and became regular parts of any Shaivet in any way that, like, through marrying in, or that they disappeared. But I think from their track record, it might make sense that they disappeared, but I'm not a professional. But I would think that probably one of the two options, that probably some and some. Some people probably were absorbed into mainstream B'nai Yisrael, married into the Shvatim, and were now just considered part of that Shaivet. And some definitely fell off the bandwagon along the way. Finally, I wanted to look at a Gemara in Megillah. It says, Tanya Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Omer, Bo re'e kama chaviv in Yisrael lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shebechol makom shegalu shechina imahem, galu l'mitzrayim shechina imahem. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, see how dear B'nai Yisrael are to Hashem, that anywhere they were sent into exile, the Shechina stayed with them. Shene'emar, ha'negle negleta le'beit avicha behayotam b'mitzrayim. Galu le'bavel, they were sent to Bavel. Shechina imahen, the Shechina stayed with them. Shene'emar, le'manchem shalachti bavela ve'af shehen atidin li'higael, Shechina imahen. And even now, when we're in Galut and we're waiting to be redeemed, the Shechina is with us. Shene Amar v'shav Hashem Elokecha et shvutcha lahashiv lo ne'amar ela v'shav melamed shehakadosh baruch hu shav imahen. That it teaches us that Hashem is going to return with us. So what does this teach us? Once we had this hashrat hashchina, once we created this atmosphere where the Shechina was welcome among us in Parshat Naso through the process of removing everyone who is contrary to allowing the Shechina into the camp, Hashem doesn't leave us. That it's reminding us that we have to do what we can to remind ourselves that Hashem is always there, and then Hashem always stays with us. No matter where we go, if we're in Galus and if we're in Eretz Yisrael, Hashem is with us. And this is important to remember because they didn't stay in this formation forever. We know we don't live in this formation. We know most of our Shvatim have been lost. But it's to remind us, it's the mindset that was achieved through the structuring of this camp that brought us to relation to the Shechina and having the Shechina with us. It was not only the physical structure was a way of getting us to this mindset. So now it's how we are supposed to not only travel through the desert at that time, but it's how we're meant to travel through history. And that's why it specifically states that Hashem came with us to Mitzrayim, and Hashem came with us to Babel, and Hashem is still with us now. But even if we know the Shechina is always with us, how do we know that it's still important to us to remember that the Mishkan was at the center? I don't think about the Mishkan very often. How do we know that this is something that we're always supposed to keep in mind, that this is an eternal idea? Maybe with the loss of the physical Mishkan, the messages of it also went away. That we know, whoever talks about the Mishkan once the Beis HaMikdash came back. Unless you go visit Shiloh, which is very interesting, you don't often think about Mishkan because the Beis HaMikdash replaced it. So how do we know that this idea of the Mishkan being at our center is something that we are supposed to always keep in mind? So in the Zohar it says, Lecha Hashem hagdula v'hagvura v'hatiferet v'hanitzach v'hahod ki chol v'shamayim u'v'aretz. This is the pasuk that's used to teach us the Sefirot. Now I am far from an expert on the Kabbalistic Sefirot, but what the Sefirot are, in my understanding, is 10 emanations of Hashem's presence in this world. That it's different ways that Hashem's presence is evident in the world. And each of these midot, or each of these sfirot, is connected to an individual person. So I don't know if anyone here is a sfirot expert, but does anyone know which sfira is connected to Moshe Rabbeinu? No. So the sfira of Netzach, which is eternality, is connected to Moshe. That anything that Moshe connects to has an aspect of being eternal. How is this connection made? Because Moshe is the one that connected us to the Torah. The Torah is eternal. So therefore, this midah of eternality is given to Moshe. So who put up and took down the Mishkan to begin with? Moshe. During the Yemei HaMiluim, Moshe spent those days putting up and taking down the Mishkan. So that even though Moshe didn't necessarily construct all of the Kalim, that was Bitzal and Aliyev, Moshe was the one that put up and took down the Mishkan, therefore connecting the Mishkan to the eternal. So we know that some aspect of the Mishkan is supposed to stay with us. So I would like to say that that's how we know that these ideas of through putting the Mishkan at the center, we realize that we always have to make ourselves a place that is available and open to the Shekhinah, and a place that is surrounded around our Avodas Hashem and thinking about how our unique role relates to Hashem is something that should be eternal long after the Mishkan itself and the structure of our camp were gone. So to conclude, there's a Gemara in Sota that says, David dichtiv, tiv'o ba'arat sha'araha, Moshe da'amar mar, mishenivne mikdash rishon, from when the Beis HaMikdash rishon was built, nignaz ohal moed, krashav, krasav, brechav, va'amudav, va'adanav, that ever since the first Beit HaMikdash was built, ohal moed and everything that came with it, so the Mishkan, was buried underneath it. Hecha amar Rav Chista amar avime tachat mechilot shel hahecha. That's a tongue twister. Mechilot shel hahecha. That once the first Beit HaMikdash was built, where did the Mishkan go? It didn't just disappear. The Ohel Moed and everything that came with it was buried under the Heichal of the Beit HaMikdash. So how does this tie everything together? That we might think that as we move through time, the Mishkan disappears, this idea of our camp of Bnei Israel, we no longer live in that structure, that we're able to think about our unique role and we're able to see the Mishkan in front of us. But it's saying that even when we moved on in history, we moved on in our phase from a people that was traveling through the desert to a people that was stationed in Eretz Yisrael, and we have this Beis HaMikdash, a more permanent structure, the Mishkan didn't go away. The opposite. It was buried underneath. So even though the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed over history, and we know we don't have a Beis HaMikdash now, the foundations never leave. That deep down in the foundations of what we built our stationary religion around, that we were then surrounding the Beis HaMikdash, deep down in the foundations was the Mishkan, of this idea of taking us back to when we became a traveling people. We left our old stage of having Hashem with us at Har Sinai, and we turned into a people that's going to be traveling, and we're traveling through today, and we're traveling through history, and this was supposed to be a model for us for how to travel. That this idea of the Mishkan, of having to create a place that we each see our unique role and remember that we are unique people, but united around serving Hashem. This is buried deep in our foundation, and because that idea is connected with Moshe, it's eternal, it never goes away. So just to remember that we might not be able to see the Mishkan, and we might not be able to see the Beis HaMikdash, but deep down in our foundation is buried the Mishkan, that everything, all of these ideals, are still there. And just to remember that that's what we were built upon, and that's how we are supposed to move on and travel through history. So taking us back to the beginning, why in the world would Hashem want to get involved in how Bnei Israel should camp? I think we would say, if you look at the cost-benefit analysis, some people may have complained, but through teaching us how we are supposed to camp in the desert, Hashem taught us how we are supposed to travel and relate to our lives as Jewish people that no longer stayed at Har Sinai, as individuals that moved on from there. That we are always supposed to see our individuality and feel that individual role and that individual charge. We are also supposed to always see ourselves as part of Klal Yisrael, and not just one united people, but a people united around something specific. And that's our Avodas Hashem, and how we relate to always serving Hashem and seeing Hashem at our center.